Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest breaking news stories. An outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much indeed for joining. That's 2 days in a row we're actually able to start with happy news because, yes, I think a drone strike killing the man who was number two to Osama bin Laden and the mastermind behind the 9/11 terror attacks in 2001, I think the killing of him is an absolute triumph. Well done, America. And it's not often we say that anymore, but fantastic news to wake up to. I mean, on balance, probably not as much fun as the Lionesses winning the Euros, but at least yesterday we got to celebrate along with them. The dancing and the singing and the fun at Trafalgar Square, absolutely joyful to behold. And then last night, of course, Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak having those latest hustings of Tory members, and a very interesting new poll suggesting that actually, although it looks like that Liz Truss is a runaway winner with that that election, the ballots having already gone out, lots of support, very clear in that studio audience as well, that actually she is only 5 points ahead of Rishi Sunak, according to one poll. Anyway, despite winning the support of the likes of Penny Mordaunt, Tom Tugendhat, Nadeem Zahawi and many others. Well, we're going to be talking about that and plenty more besides. And joining me for all the chat is Conservative commentator Benedict Spence. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Julia.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. I know you love your international affairs, your foreign affairs, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Liam Fox, former Defence Secretary, later in the show. The news that was announced late last night by the US President Joe Biden that they had killed the leader of Al-Qaeda, that's Ayman al-Zawahiri, in a drone strike in Kabul. I mean, this is welcome news, isn't it?
It is, especially seeing as al-Zawahiri has been, we say the number two, but operationally essential to Al-Qaeda, even during the bin Laden era. You know, Osama bin Laden was sort of the ideological, the spiritual leader of the group. He was a very charismatic man. He brought a lot of funding, but al-Zawahiri was very much the sort of the so-called brains of the organization, so to speak. Yeah. And, you know, his fingerprints are on escapades and attacks all over the place, from, you know, the Kenyan embassy bomb attack, to the Balkans, to Chechnya, to Dagestan, to Pakistan, and of course in Afghanistan. And it's funny, actually, it's only because the United States and the coalition pulled out of Afghanistan that he was able to go back to Kabul, which put him out into the open, so to speak.
Yeah,
so a slight upside to that whole sorry affair.
Indeed. I mean, yes, and it's almost a year since US troops did withdraw from Afghanistan, and we spent most of last August covering that day after day after day. There's no doubt at all. I mean, this man is a mass murderer. Joe Biden yesterday announcing, it says, that al-Zawahiri had carved a trail of murder and violence against American citizens. Now justice has been delivered and this terrorist leader is no more. He said he'd given the final approval for the precision strike on the 71-year-old leader after months of planning. He said he believes that the killing will bring closure to families of the nearly 3,000 victims of the 9/11 attacks. He said, no matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you're a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out. He said, we shall never waver from defending our nation and its people. Now, of course, this comes, after the killing of bin Laden himself. There was a big hand-wringing debate from the usual suspects after bin Laden was killed in Afghanistan. In Pakistan. Where he'd been in a safe house there and been watched for many months. And it is extraordinary how many people were talking about how, oh, this was, you know, extrajudicial killing. It was, you know, these people have placed themselves outside the law. They're not war criminals in that sense. But, you know, this is the only way of getting these people. It is claimed that this was a very precision drone attack. Americans aren't renowned for their precision drone attacks, are they?
Not often a couple,
seem,
anyway.
Take yes, they seem to take out whole, you know, you kneel, not
wedding
nearly always a wedding.
And,
it's nearly always a wedding, isn't it? But as you say, this is a man who'd been responsible for masterminding not just 9/11, but also the suicide bombing of the USS Cole naval destroyer, which killed 17 US sailors, and the 1998 attacks on the US embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, in which a total of 223 people died. It is interesting that it is a year after the US have and the Brits have and others have left Afghanistan that they're able to carry out this attack. Does that say that actually, you know, America still, you know, still is able to sort of do these sort of attacks even without being in the country?
Well, the United States is always, it is able to carry out attacks anywhere. Yeah. I mean, this was one of the big things about the Trump administration, wasn't it, when they assassinated Qasem Soleimani, who everybody thought was untouchable, and Trump just went, no, you're not. And, you know, this is the difficulty, I suppose, with Afghanistan is the Taliban aren't the government of Pakistan. So when people say, oh, well, that was a potentially illegal operation on sovereign territory of an ally, it's not quite the same when it's the Taliban. And everybody will be asking, how is it that Ayman al-Zawahiri was able to be carrying on in Kabul quite so openly? And I suppose a lot of that's got to go down to the fact that the Taliban are back in charge, and this is what you get.
There was a peace deal in 2020 with the US. I mean, such as the Taliban's word is worth anything. The Taliban agreed not to allow Al-Qaeda or any other extremist groups to operate in areas under their control. But again, I imagine, once they are back in control. I mean, this is the thing. If you go back to it, the bombing of Afghanistan in the wake of 9/11 was all about the fact that the Taliban wouldn't give up Al-Qaeda leaders. And it was known, remember, we had all that stuff about the caves and bin Laden and others hiding in these caves in Afghanistan. And basically, there was a quite clear ultimatum given to the Taliban leaders. You know, no one cares who's in charge of Afghanistan, sort of said the Americans, but you can't basically look at, you know, provide a safe haven for terrorists who are attacking our country. Otherwise, we'll hold you responsible. They held the Taliban responsible. The Taliban back in, you know, back in control now.
The way to think about the Taliban is a bit like Iran. You know, a military theocracy will allow these tendencies in either way. And, you know, the Taliban said that they wouldn't allow people like Al-Qaeda to operate on their territory, but they do. They allow
So does Pakistan.
They allow Daesh to operate on their territory.
ISIS,
they allow Uyghur separatist groups to operate on their territory, which is causing the Chinese all kinds of bother. You know, ultimately, you will always find sympathy, even if the official line is, we don't let these people in because we're the top dogs. You will always find sympathy, you will always find links, because a lot of these groups are interlinked. They have financial, personnel links to each other, history.
Yeah.
It's quite messy, but it's just how it operates.
And a lot of them, again, are funded by countries that, frankly, just like to cause difficulty of the countries. Can we just, sticking on foreign affairs, actually, before, because I do want to talk about the Tory leadership campaign and how that's hotting up, and, of course, wonderful celebrations of lionesses continuing yesterday. But Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker in the House of Representatives, she is visiting Taiwan today. It is understood, not confirmed by her or by Biden's office or the Taiwanese government. Of course, Taiwan is still a disputed territory, recognised in many ways by the West as an independent nation state, not recognised by the World Health Organization, of course, we recall, beginning of the COVID affair, but the Chinese view Taiwan as basically a rebel territory. This island is there; it is part of China. Still has a US, a very very small, I mean, like a couple of dozen people, a US military presence. There's been big concern. The Chinese basically saying there will be repercussions if Nancy Pelosi does visit today. Joe Biden not telling her not to go, but saying it's not official and hasn't asked her to go on behalf of the US administration. Is this Nancy Pelosi just, you know, going sort of, you know, going, I don't know.
I don't have a lot of time for Nancy Pelosi as an individual, as a politician. I think she's got an awful record, but good for her on this issue, actually, because if it comes to the issue of, oh, well, we don't want to upset the Chinese are threatening to obliterate this place. They're threatening to take it over, to fundamentally change the lives of the people who live there, to remove them of their rights. And also, when it comes to threats about China, there is an old Russian proverb, which is China's final warning, which is a well-known phrase to mean something that isn't going to be backed up. They will saber rattle, they will talk up. What are they going to do? They're not going to shoot down Nancy Pelosi's plane. They're not really going to impose any sort of economic sanctions. They might crank up war games in the area. They might send ships to the area. But Nancy Pelosi going to visit the Taiwanese, that's ultimately not going to change China's way of thinking or its attitude towards the United States.
No, there is an element also for me, you know, America is it's still last time I looked, the most powerful nation on the planet. If the third most powerful politician in America, which is what she is in this administration, effectively, if she chooses to visit Taiwan, that's her damn well business, and the Chinese ain't in a position to, well, should not be in a position to make threats. And indeed, the making of that threat alone should mean an automatic, you're definitely turning up. In fact, if I were Joe Biden, I'd turn up in that scenario, because
Joe Biden knows where it is.
No, there is that. No, but this is a situation. We cannot have a situation where China can dictate these things. This, again, we've seen what happened with Russia and Ukraine, and China's been watching very closely, and a message needs to go out.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.